praying for some preachers tonight. We're praying for Dr. Paige Patterson, who is going through a horrendous time, and many other preachers. We mention him because many believe that some of the punishment that he is receiving is not necessary, is not warranted. And so we pray for him tonight as we dedicate this message to all gospel preaching preachers who have proclaimed the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ down through the years, where souls have been saved and lives have been changed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word, as is our custom, out of respect for the word of God. How to do good deeds. Part 11, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 474, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 841, since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And that's how it's supposed to be every time. So whatever, however you got it marked, leave it like that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Jesus said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward." And for those of you who are wondering, I am still preaching about Jesus in the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, doing it biblically, if you will. We preached 367 plus messages through the book of St. John, and now we're in the book of St. Matthew. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Jesus knew the hearts of all men and women. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for what you have allowed us to do today. And none of us here will say that all that could have been done has been done. We could have done more. And I pray that before this night is over, some things that can be done would be done. For your kingdom, for your glory, your praise and honor. And Holy Father God, we confess our sins unto you, our failures and our faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we, from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Everyone pray aloud. In a concert of prayer. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'd crush and crucify our flesh, Lord, within us, afresh and anew, and fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word once again, with meaning, with feeling, with sincerity. For Lord, we are amazed at how that we might be shackled, but your holy word is not shackled. We are amazed at how your Holy Spirit, Lord, uses your preached word to move people's hearts and minds and lives like nothing else on earth. It is absolutely amazing how powerful the foolishness of preaching is. Even the weakest saint who is called by you to preach can see hundreds and thousands saved by the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and by the power of your holy word that never comes back void, never comes back void. For Lord, as you know, you've had thousands upon thousands of your preachers who have said to you and to others, to me, that was my worst message that I've ever preached. But that was the message that was used mightily by you to see hundreds saved and Christians revived and encouraged to keep on keeping on. And then at the same time, on the other hand, Lord, you've had thousands upon thousands of preachers who thought, just like I have thought as well, I really shucked the corn. We really did the job. And we thought we were mightily used by you, and probably were, but no results, at least on that particular day. Because, Lord, it is not by might nor by power, according to your word you told us, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, I know it sounds trite, but I'm finding it to be true what the old saints used to say, the Lord works in mysterious ways, in using the mysterious gospel. We don't understand it all, but we thank you for it all. And we are, I know I am, amazed by it all. And so, Lord, tonight, as you send forth your holy word all across this country and around the globe, everybody will not listen, but they do, but everybody has the opportunity to listen. And some will listen, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. And Holy Father God, we know that every time we attempt to preach your holy word, the devil kicks up his heels, so to speak, and he fights against us, as he has all day long today. And we're not shocked, we're not surprised, starting early this morning. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that once again you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts, Lord, from this place and from your people. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and pride and foolishness out of the hearts and lives of those who have allowed the devil to plant that in their hearts and lives and minds. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would not give them rest until they confess their sins, repent, and turn from the evil ways, and stop allowing the devil to use them to try to be a hindrance to the free-flowing movement of your holy gospel. And Lord, we pray that you would place upon us the whole armor of God, surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us your protection. And Holy Father God, those who need to confess sins, help them to do it now. Help them to repent. Help them, Lord, to turn from their evil ways, as I give them an opportunity to do that right now. Everybody pray out loud, confess your sins, repent, get your heart right with the Lord, so that the Holy Spirit of God can move freely as we commence another 30 days of preaching God's holy word on this long journey towards preaching the gospel 1,000 times in a certain time frame, so that others can hear the gospel and be saved, and Christians would be revived and encouraged. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for what you will do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. How to do good deeds according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Part number 11, as we are marching ever so slowly and thoroughly through the amazing gospel called Matthew. In the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening in this passage, Jesus Christ explains how to do the good deed of prayer, or more specifically, the things that one should avoid doing when praying. First, praying to be seen, being chief among them. But in verse 7, Jesus adds another prohibition, if you will, something else he does not want us to do. He says, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. The more and more I pray, the more and more I serve the Lord, the more I believe the Lord loves short prayers. Did you know that if you prayed the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it is called, it should be called the Disciples' Prayer, for it was not for the Lord, it was for us. You can pray it in less than 60 seconds without rushing. So the model prayer that Jesus gave us is less than 60 seconds, less than a minute. So I have encouraged my family, and I've encouraged others, every hour or so, pray a short prayer. Just 60 seconds. Now, what is vain repetition? And by the way, this is one of the things that causes prayers to go long. saying the same things over and over again, thinking that God is going to hear your prayers because of your much speaking. And that's just not the case. As someone said, God is not deaf. And God does not have Alzheimer's or some kind of memory disease. He heard you the first time. And he has a great memory. Vain repetition is the continual saying of something, the continual reciting of something that you learn from some book somewhere, or repeating of meaningless words under the guise of real prayer. I don't know about you, we're all human, and every now and then our minds might wander. And I don't know about you, but what I do is when I catch myself, by the grace of God, I come back and I repeat. I say something meaningful, rather. I don't just skip along and act like everything's all right. I believe once you catch yourself with your mind wandering while praying, you ought to go back. You ought not to let your mind wander. But if it does, come back and say what you're supposed to say that matters, that means something. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be embarrassed by that. In fact, you're going to kind of freak people out if you don't do that. Because they understand, and hopefully you understand, you're talking to God, so you need to say what you mean. And mean what you say, and don't just say stuff and you don't mean it. It is the idea that the repetition of our requests. There's nothing wrong with praying about something over and over again until God hears your prayer, but not in the same prayer. This is why I knew the old ladies of the Holiness Church were wrong when they had me on what they call the mourner's bench. And they did, right at the beginning of my hopeful salvation, they had me committing the sin of vain repetition. They had me down there at the altar. One lady was on one side saying, telling me, say Jesus, say Jesus, say Jesus. And what they did, they wrongly thought and believed that the Bible taught in Romans 10, 9, and 13, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They somehow thought that meant you're supposed to get on the mourner's bench and call on Jesus' name millions of times, at least thousands of times. They thought that by my saying and everybody else on the mourner's bench, which they by the way, never got saved by doing that either. They were just religious. But they believed in their hearts that to call on Jesus, that verse meant, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, to make sure you call Jesus, 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 Jesus. And that's probably an abomination in the Lord's sight. But as sure as I'm black and my last name white, that's what they had me doing, along with many others, on the mourner's bench. They thought that Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, meant calling on Jesus' name. See, that comes from the flesh. See, that's what our flesh likes to do. We want to feel like we did something. We want to make sure we call on Jesus' name. And they got in my ear, you know, there's always sweating, and there's always spitting and foaming, and if you're not saying Jesus fast enough, it got to the point. And see, another thing they were trying to do is to get me to show that I was saved by getting up and speaking in tongues and shouting. And that's how they think they can get you to speaking in tongues. How? By saying Jesus so fast that his name is not even recognizable. Focus on that right there, over here. Focus on that. That his name is not even recognizable. It got to the point that they were behind me, the old ladies were behind me trying to convert me, trying to get me saved, ignorantly, spitting in my ear, saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Got to the point where Jesus, you didn't even recognize his name. Name Jesus, the Jesus. But you might as well have said cheese. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they wanted you to make it to say it as fast as possible. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It was like we were in a frenzy. Just like they do in some of these little guru meetings. And they didn't know any better. I'm here to tell you tonight, my dear friends, all you got to do is call on Jesus one time, and he'll save you from that one time, having faith in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, one time. You say, well, did you get saved that night when the ladies were pushing you to say Jesus so fast, thousands of times? No, I did not. I was lost before I went down on the mourner's bench, and I was lost when I got up. Vain repetitions. Vain repetitions. It didn't mean anything. And just like they baptized me when I was 12 years old. I went down a dry center and came up a wet center. Lost as I could be. Church membership, the doors of the church are open. I went down and sat in the chair as a sinner and came back a sinner, just as lost as I could be. Meaningless action. No faith behind it whatsoever. People wanted me to be saved so bad that, because my dad was a preacher and everybody loved my dad. He was a very loving man. They would come up to me and say, you're saved, aren't you? I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. Say, oh, sure you are. Sure you are. And I knew. Let me tell you something about lost people. They know that they're lost. They're not deceived. Most lost people, now it's the religion. You got some religious folk who are deceived and think they're saved. But real lost people like I was, I knew I was lost. And I knew they didn't have what I needed. That's why I kept on praying in private, Lord, show me the light. And finally he did, December the 19th, 1979. Vain repetition is the idea that the repetition of our statements somehow makes an answer from God more likely, and that is not the case. Amen, somebody. This type of praying, which is not praying at all, is very prevalent among those who worship false gods or idols. Tibetan Buddhists have what is called a prayer wheel, a revolving cylinder inscribed with written prayers that they repeat as they turn it. And if they died with that prayer wheel in their hands, they would go straight to hell. No one is mad at anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just stating facts. They can pray their hearts out and still die and go to hell if they're praying with this vain, this idea of vain repetitions that Jesus talked about. We have some Catholic friends or enemies who do what they call praying the rosary. And we love all Catholics. We're not mad at anybody. But that is not going to get your prayers answered. The rosary, a set of three prayers, one of which is repeated 10 times. And then they have some beads in their hands while they're doing it. And they say the same thing over and over again. Mary, full of grace, and so forth and so on. And first of all, they're praying to the wrong person, and they're praying in the wrong name if they're praying in Mary's name. Mary had to get saved just like you and I. Hare Krishna devotees have a mantra that they chant. They call it a prayer, but it is just three Sanskrit words repeated over and over again and gets them nowhere with God. So Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is telling us that we should not engage in mindless verbal repetition when we pray, and not only the vain repetitions that Jesus Christ is talking about here, but some of us, we say the same things over and over again in prayer mindlessly. We have a set prayer that we say mindlessly. We don't mean what we pray, what we say. Anytime it's mindless, and you're not focused on what you're saying, therefore you don't mean what you're saying, you're not really praying. Charles Spurgeon called the repetition of the same words in prayer sheer mockery. He said, God is not deaf, or rather forgetful. Neither does he delight in mere sounds. Prayer is the intelligent approach of the mind of man to the mind of God. And in that coming, we must not think of adding to the divine knowledge, which is infinite, or dictating to the divine will, which is sovereign. And may I add, don't you ever forget it. My dear brother, older brother in the Lord, who was a tremendous blessing and support and help in the early days of my ministry. He had his own ministry called the Intelligent Faith Ministry. And it was all about helping people to understand that jumping and shouting and vain repetitions is not the way to go in the black church. We need to have an intelligent faith. And that's what Charles Spurgeon was just talking about, how that our prayers ought to make sense. It should not be a bunch of gibberish. We ought to know what we're praying with understanding and pray in faith believing, because we are praying to an intelligent God. who can understand everything in our hearts and in our minds. Amen, somebody. You don't have to get emotional about it. You don't have to feel anything, really. It's good for that to happen. But that's not always going to happen. It's not necessary. Many times as you grow old in the Lord, my beloved, you're going to pray a simple prayer. You won't feel anything. There will not be any fireworks. You're going to understand what you say, and so will God. It may be no more than 7 or 8 words. And those simple prayers, I assure you, will be some of the most powerful prayers you ever pray. In fact, I am convinced it's the little old lady down on the side pew who's never been to Bible college. She barely graduated from high school. She's never been to the seminary. But I assure you, I promise you, you'll find out when you get to heaven if you don't believe me. Most churches are held together through the prayers of that little old lady in the church corner that most folks don't even pay attention to. Every now and then she may get a hug from the pastor, and he better hug her, because it's the power of her simple prayers that she prays for that pastor. And she prays for that pastor more than the pastor prays for himself or for her. And don't tell me it's not true. I know it's true. I've had many pastors to tell me they don't pray as they should. Pastors. And don't you look down your nose at pastors who don't pray. You don't pray either. You're going to find that it's that little old lady, that widow in the corner of the church, who always has a coat on, be it wintertime or summertime. She doesn't say much. You might think she's asleep over in that corner. She's not. She's praying. Simple prayers. Lord, help the preacher today. Lord, help his wife. I can tell that they're having some problems. Lord, those 4 children of theirs, they're going astray and they're acting up. Lord, reel them in. I assure you, I promise you, you're going to find out that throughout our lives, it has always been those simple prayers that God heard and answered, and you didn't feel anything. You didn't see any flashing lights. You didn't feel a tingle down your spine. You didn't shout and jump. None of that. But God heard your prayers. And God blessed. Not through vain repetitions. Not through a whole lot of screaming and hollering. As one preacher in Houston says, it's not volume. It's not about volume. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, beloved, Jesus never implied that more value is to be put on prayers that are long and loud and wordy. One commentary noted that Jewish religious leaders were fond of lengthening their prayers by the abundant use of synonyms and synonymous expressions. saying the same things over and over again with different words. Have you ever been around some prayers like that? In other words, they said the same thing over and over again using different words. These are the same people Jesus called hypocrites. These are phonies and fakes in the church even today. A few verses earlier, because Jesus called them that a few verses earlier, because their whole purpose was not to be heard by God, but to be seen by men. And with a wicked desire for men to say, boy, he can sure pray, I tell you. He's a prayer warrior. They thought the longer they prayed, the more spiritual they would appear. And that is so disgusting. And I assure you, beloved, the person who always wants to pray in public, I assure you, they don't pray at home. They don't pray with their spouse. They don't pray with their children or for their children. They just love to pray in front of other people because somehow they foolishly think, number one, that people will think that they're spiritual, and number two, that people in the church don't know what they're doing. And I've said this before, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You cannot fool all of the people all of the time, and you never can fool the truly saved ones in the church, especially those who have the gift of discernment. They saw you coming in way out there in the parking lot, and they can see right through you. So you need to stop being a phony. Stop being a hypocrite. Stop foolishly thinking that people are going to think you're spiritual because you said a prayer and you said it eloquently. And that goes for anything else you do in church. People can see right through a phony in the church, and they will not abide long with you. So Jesus deals with this issue from two perspectives. First, there is the person who thinks that God hears him by virtue of his long, rambling, repetitive prayer. That person may be sincere in his beliefs, but he is misguided. Secondly, there is the person who is not really interested in praying to God, but is mostly concerned with impressing other people by the length and wordiness of his prayer, particularly if he has the ability to make it sound like something. Both perspectives are wrong. God hears us when we pray sincerely and in faith, believing in him. William Dunkley wrote, in closing, ladies and gentlemen, amid all the traffic of the ways, turmoils without, within, make in my heart a quiet place and come and dwell therein. A little shrine of quietness, all secret to thyself, where thou shalt all my soul possess and I may find myself a little place of mystic grace, of self and sin swept bare, where I may look upon thy face and talk with thee in prayer. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us tonight and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from the punishment of sin in that awful place called the lake of fire, and so that you can have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And may I say to you secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. It's a terrible penalty. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And death is a terrible thing. And one of the terrible things about death is that it can happen at any time. Children sitting in a classroom taking a test, shot by some demoniac, dead and gone. Just today, a person, evidently, they say it was an accident. He somehow hit the accelerator, not the brake, and was on one of those high-rise, he was on one of those high-rise parking lots, and ran right through the wall and landed upside down. And he's in serious condition right now in the hospital. Thank God he didn't die, and we hope he doesn't. But things like that happen all of the time, and people leave here. A great basketball player and his wife, we found out today that he took a wicked cocktail of different drugs and alcohol and wrecked his sports car and killed himself and his wife. People are dying everywhere, all around us. Please do not think that you will not die, because you will. Don't just look at the news and say, "Tisk, tisk, poor them, that'll never happen to me." It will. Death comes out of nowhere, and death takes no holiday. And when death knocks on your door, you will answer. But the saddest part about death is going to that awful place called hell. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now, to the lake of fire. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. That's bad news. But I have some good news for you today. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven and be with God forever. That's what God prefers, by the way, for his servant, his son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And he'll help you to do good works. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, you don't have to do good works to be saved. What we're talking about here tonight is you trust Christ as Savior and get saved, and Christ will help you to do good works throughout your life. For his glory, praise, and honor, not to be saved, but because you are saved. Your good works cannot save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And so, dear friend, it's very simple. It's not hard. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to do good works to be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all, and he did it all. He paid your sin debt and mine. And all you have to do is believe on him and pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Call the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil, and that I have done wrong in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, such as taking your name in vain, stealing, lusting after people and things that are not mine, covetousness, and lying and dishonesty. Lord, that's about half of your Ten Commandments right there, and I'm guilty. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, for you've done the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. And read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Or pasture. And so, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, hundreds have, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. May God bless you and may God keep you is my prayer. For God loves you, we love you. And may God be with you until next time, which, if the Lord tarries his coming, we'll be right here tomorrow.